Welcome to Plain Talk. Plain Talk has over 100 podcasts containing up-to-date information about aviation technologies and pilot experiences for general and business aviation. From home, to cockpit, to boardroom, to personal tech, Plain Talk provides informative information for pilots, industry insiders, and aviation enthusiasts alike. My name is Phil Lightstone. I'm a general aviation pilot with over 2,100 hours in my logbook, flying almost every week with over 30 years' experience in the technology and aviation industries. Okay, we're here at sunny downtown Buttonville at the Toronto Buttonville Municipal Airport in mid-September 2023 with a licensed pilot. Got his license here at Buttonville. Shaheen Mushtaq. Did I say that right?
Shaheen Mushtaq.
I was close.
Yes, that's close, of course.
Shaheen is the Vice President, Facilities and Fiber at a really cool company called Beanfield Metro Connect. We might call them a Baby Bell. Is that right? Yeah, super cool. And also dear to my heart because my kids are using their services in their condos. So Shaheen, welcome to the Plain Talk cockpit. It's wonderful to have you here.
Thank you.
So Shaheen, you started chasing a dream.
Correct.
After immigrating from Iran in 2001 to Canada.
Correct.
Where I suppose to be a licensed pilot in Iran is almost next to impossible.
It is not a known thing, not really a thing. If you want to be a pilot, that would be through university and college training or military training.
Sure.
Otherwise, as a private pilot, it was not a thing back then.
So you came to Canada, set down your roots, pursued your professional career, eventually getting to Beanfield. You started your student pilot journey in 2004. How did that happen?
So at the time, I was working as an electrician in a building doing my electrical job, twisting wires. And then one day, this gentleman comes in. He's kind of head to toe covered with drywall dust, doing his drywall thing. He was professional, very exquisite with his work. But then as I'm doing my work, we were chatting about different things. He said, yeah, last weekend I flew my plane and I did a barrel roll and some twists and turns over a field. And I said, oh, hold on a second. You have an airplane and you are a pilot? How is that work? Because to me, a pilot would have been someone with suits and ties and on airlines. It was not a thing for somebody to just do it so casually. And he said, yeah, there's nothing really special about it. You just go do 40 hours of training and then you do your solo and then you get your private pilot license. And then you can buy an airplane. That's fine. There's nothing really difficult about it. Back then, I used to see this sign by Buttonville Airport that would advertise sightseeing or introductory flight for, I think, maybe $80 or $110, $120. Same weekend, I came here to Buttonville and said I would like to try the introductory flight. So they set me up with a pilot. We got into an airplane. He showed me various pieces of airplane, and then we took off. And, of course, I had the headset. I'm listening to the radio. They're talking so fast. I said, what are they talking about? I cannot even understand one word what they say. This is impossible for me. Anyway, we took off. We head south. I remember we were over DVP, got close to downtown. And along the way, he gave me the control. He showed me how to turn left, right, up, down, as simple as that. And then we turned around at some point and came back and landed. I was so fascinated and so much enjoyed that as soon as we landed, I went to the desk and said, I would like to sign up for private pilot student. My income was quite low at the time. I think maybe $12 or $13 an hour. but I thought, I don't care. I have to get this done. This is so good, so cool. There's no way I would let go of it. So that was it. I started flying here, going through the lessons, and because of the timing and financial limitations, it took me a while to get my license, but I didn't care. I enjoyed the course. I enjoyed the process. So the timing was not something that I would care about. I would enjoy every minute of it, and still enjoying very much.
And you got licensed, I understand, 2007. And haven't looked back since there. I take it you've continued your training. What ratings do you hold?
Correct. So, yes, after that, of course, my training was on Cessna 150. And then shortly after, I thought, okay, let's try something else, something different. So I got my training on a 172 so that I have a slightly more powerful airplane and I can take a couple of friends with me flying a little later. I thought, okay, let's try something new. So I got my night rating. A few years ago, I tried and got training on a Cessna 182 with retractable gear.
Wow, so go fast.
That was fast. That was very, very nice airplane, glass cockpit.
And so constant speed.
Constant speed, yes, that was the plane. I also got training on a Piper Cherokee out of Oshawa as I was doing my training.
Which do you prefer, high wing or low wing?
Oh, definitely high wing.
Way more fun? Easier to get in and out?
No, it's easier to get in. There are two separate doors for passenger and pilot. And then the fact that on Piper you have to switch the fuel tank from left to right every 15, 20, 30 minutes, that sounded very basic. I said, there has to be a better way. Why would they do that? It just didn't sit well with me.
Really, but you're an engineer, so
you didn't call
the factory to say, guys, what's going on? Or ask your friendly instructor.
I asked my instructor. I said, why is that? Why cannot just pull from both, just like Cessna? Well, he says, well, in Cessna, the tanks are up there. The fuel would run on its own, but in here, they are low, so you have to pull it up. Still didn't make sense, but anyway.
Amazing. I guess we need to get an instructor into the Plane Talk cockpit. 16 years later, you've now accumulated 300 hours.
Correct.
Are you thinking about pursuing any other ratings like VFR over the top or?
I would love IFR? To try the IFR. IFR seems very fun and it actually opens a lot of doors. Then you are not limited to the cloud or many things. I had a chance to fly to Montreal once and I had my instructor with me. Of course, he had IFR and we flew over the clouds at 10,000 feet. So he was navigating his IFR thing, but I was doing most of the flying. It was so fascinating when we were about to land in Montreal, St. Hubert. It was overcast and we just go by the radar and navigation. And as we descend where we should descend, it was just 500 feet above the ground when I, for the first time, see the runway perfectly lined up in front of me. I said, this is so amazing. So amazing to see like that.
So
yes.
When are you going to start your IFR?
Soon. I will definitely do that. Yes.
Cool. So I guess with, the airport closing.
Yes.
And you work downtown, just a hop, skip, and a jump from the island airport.
Yes. So I switched quite soon to city center island because it's so closer and the traffic coming up DVP is brutal always. But Buttonville is a nostalgic airport. I'm quite sad to see it closed.
As I think most of us are, I did my flight training in the 90s. Also worked across the street from the airport. And I suppose there's a lot of fond memories here that I have those.
For sure. You know, I do remember when I was taking my lessons, how busy this airport was and the tower instructing everyone. Now it's degraded to be without a tower and soon to be closed. I would like to take a piece of this airport as a keepsake for myself.
Good maybe idea. A sign or a brick when they destroy the place.
Yes.
I guess there's no
would
bricks.
Be nice.
Yeah,
would
that
be nice.
Would be kind of nice. Or some soil.
Yes. Yeah. a piece of runway asphalt.
Or I understand that Nav Canada is looking for a new home for their portable tower. You could put that in your backyard.
Maybe.
Be attractive with your neighbors. That would be
That would be fun. Yes.
Would certainly be a conversation piece at your next cocktail party.
For sure.
Interesting. Yeah, it is going to be kind of an interesting new world come December 1st after the airport closes. What are some of your fond memories of flying out of Buttonville?
Wow, that's at least over 10 years ago. The scene where I would see, I've seen a couple of airplane crashes. That's sad memories.
Oh, that's not a good memory.
No, that's not a good memory, but those are the more dramatic events. Oh, I had one time at the early times when I was having my flights with my instructor. One day it was winter. We took off. Very soon as we are climbing, I noticed that, oh, our speed is not showing correctly. And then our altitude is not showing correctly. So I was a little worried, but my instructor, he was amazingly good, amazingly good. He said, well, it looks like our static tube is blocked. Don't worry about it. So just keep the attitude, keep the engine power, and fly just like every time that we flew. And there we go. So we just did all of that. Altitude, because we didn't know how high we are, we just visually assumed that's reasonable. And then we did the circuit back, landed. Everything went well. And as we got down, we noticed that, oh, the static tube is iced over, and we didn't notice it was a clear layer of ice, which we didn't pick it up because it wouldn't, we wouldn't see it.
Of course, clear air icing.
Yes. Yeah,
amazing.
That was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank goodness it was only the pitot-static tube that got iced over, as opposed to the entire wing, stabilizer, prop. You know, we, I think we gain experience and by these interesting lessons learned. I recall sitting on the patio with some of my friends and having a coffee. There was a Cessna 182, not a stone's throw away from us. And I noticed the pilot do the walk around, get the family and kids into the aircraft, strapped in, started it up, and noticed he'd forgotten to shut the luggage door.
Oh, no.
Amazing. So I walked over, and you have to be very cautious of an airplane that's running. So I just held the aileron, wiggled the aileron, which made the control yoke wiggle. You know, that got his attention. He looks at me, and I point to his, to the luggage door.
Wow.
At which point he shuts the engine off, gets out, thanks me, shuts the luggage door, and then guess what you think he checked next?
Fuel cap?
Or oil dipstick.
Yes.
Yeah, was that good and tight? And got back in, started it up, and, you know, life was super good.
And took up. Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah, it's absolutely some very fond memories of doing helping folks out. So, 300 plus hours. Any interesting trips in mind that you're thinking about?
I would like to do Gravenhurst. It's dear to my heart because that was my first short cross-country flight.
Oh, no kidding.
I went there. Maybe some fish and chips up in
Killarney.
Killarney, yes. That I would like to do that. And, of course, other flights to cities, let's say Montreal, maybe one day to US. That would be fun, adventurous. Of course.
Shaheen, any final words for the Plain Talk audience?
No, I really enjoyed all of your episodes. So basically, when I learned about your Plain Talk, I queued them in my iPod and then just kept listening one after each other. This is so much fun.
Well, thank you so much. And I really appreciate you coming into the Plain Talk cockpit. Thank you, Shaheen.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Plain Talk. If you have any ideas for a future Plain Talk episode, please go to the Contact Us page at plaintalk.ca and send in your idea. Don't forget to like us at plaintalk.ca, our Facebook and LinkedIn pages, and this podcast. And never stop living the dream.